We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yes, it is time for the Derek Shelton Show. The Pirates manager is on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. And Derek Shelton is brought to us by Tri-State Office Furniture. Shelty, there's no Ron Cook. There's no Bob Pompiani. There's just little old me. And as a big surprise for you, I've invited our friend Folsey into the interview. Are you okay with that?
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is the first time.
It is.
Jeez. Are we going with Folsey? I've been calling him Maddie.
Well, and
we
Bob.
Have to go with Folsey or where are we at?
I don't know. Bob calls him Coltsy. And believe it or not, I ran into a woman this weekend who works at a stable. And she said that Folsey, there's potentially endorsement money for him to endorse pony rides at this stable if he sticks with one of these horse-related names.
Well, if we're going to get him endorsements and, he's going to get free pony rides, then we should definitely stick with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, Folsey, at any point you want to jump in. The only disappointing part, Shelty, was that when I invited Maddie into this interview, he hesitated. He wasn't sure if he wanted to do it. I don't know how to take that if I'm you.
No, I was just surprised.
I don't know how I take that either. I mean, was it more that he didn't want to be on with me or be on with you? Which one was it?
I don't know. I don't know why there wouldn't be hesitation.
I had to process what you were actually saying, that you were inviting me to be part of the interview. So
yes.
I apologize.
Well, you're in.
All right.
Now you're
in.
That was your initiation right there. Your voice has been heard. I'm going to ask the first question, and then we go nobody double dipping like Pomp here, right?
That's the rules.
We alternate.
Right.
All right, Shelty. The ground rules have been set. Let's go to last week. I have a question for you. On the the collision at home plate with Key Brian Hayes and Contreras, man, I just looked at it again, and Contreras put himself in a very vulnerable position, and Hayes. I mean, he's lucky his knee didn't get blown out. What did you make of what he did on that play, what Key Brian did on the play with a head-first slide, and the rule in general?
Well, what I put in Wilson's context, and you know, not knowing it, but I think, you know, it's a game-winning, tying situation, and he was trying to do everything he could to prevent us from making a play at the plate. And you know, I think we would probably want our catchers doing the same thing. I mean, if it's going to be a winning run, like we're going to try to do everything we can, and then if the guy's out and there's a blocking call, then we're going to make them overturn it. In Key Brian's case, I would prefer he not fly head first because of the fact that, you know, he puts himself in a vulnerable position. Like you said, Wilson put himself in a vulnerable position because if Key slides the other way, he could, you know, his knee's in a really bad spot. And then the rule in general, I mean, the rule was put in place to protect catchers. The one part about it is it's so ambiguous.
Yes.
For everybody involved that, you know, it leads probably to more issues than it does, you know, because number one, a lot of people don't understand the rule. And then number two, because they don't understand it, they don't know what kind of contact can be made. And, you know, I understand protecting the integrity of the catching position, but I think at times we put it even in a more ambiguous spot.
Well, to double dip on Maddie right away here,
thank you, Jim.
You know this position as well as anybody. Do you understand it? In other words, do you understand it to the point where you're able to comfortably articulate it to your players so that they understand it, or is everybody just kind of flying by night here?
I don't think we're flying by night. I think we understand the fact that basically if a catcher's, you know, if a catcher doesn't have the ball, you can't hit him. I think where it really comes into the gray area is if the ball goes up the line, what happens when the catcher catches the ball? Can there be contact made? You know, if the catcher has the ball, it's so much time in front of it, they can block the plate, or do they have to give portions of it? So it all depends on, like, the timing of the catch, where the catch takes you, where the catch is coming from. If it's coming from, like, a ground ball in an infield, infield-in situation, contact read, or if it's coming from an outfielder or it's coming from a cutoff man, there's so many different variations to how the rule can be interpreted that I think that's where it's at. What we tell our guys is, I mean, we would prefer they not slide head first. We would prefer they slide to the back of the bag the back of the plate, because that's what should be available, because health is, you know, first and foremost.
Shelty, I hate to hit you with a high, hard one here, maybe for this first question.
Are we
question.
Good with Shelty this early in the relationship, Shelty? You two have never met. You've only had a couple of phone conversations. Are you good with him dropping a Shelty already?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Derek's so formal to me, so I would prefer. I mean, we've had, like, conversations, you know, okay, during the pre-show, right, so I'm comfortable.
All right, I'm just checking. Go ahead, Fuzzy.
All right. The decision to bring Josh Van Meter back up and to send down Cal Mitchell got people talking. Some people maybe didn't agree with that decision or the decision to send Cal Mitchell down. So what do you still need to see in Mitchell's game moving forward here to keep him at the major league level?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, especially a good first question for you.
Thank you.
I understand the question. I think right now, you know, we see Madris planning a little bit more than Cal with how he's performed. And when we bring guys to the big leagues, you know, we've had guys, a lot of guys come to the big leagues because we've had guys get injured or other factors. At times there's going to be the option down to work on development stuff. And I think we don't specifically talk about what those things are. But in Cal's point, controlling the at-bat, making sure he understands how fast, you know, the game is, how quickly people make adjustments. And that's not to say that Cal won't be back up here or we don't like him. But most young players that come to the big leagues, at some point they're going to get optioned to go down and work on things. And right now, Cal Mitchell playing every day in AAA is going to be way more impactful than him playing 2 days a week, in the big leagues.
Are you guys committed, Shelty, to O'Neill Cruz at shortstop, no matter Kevin Newman's situation?
I think we're committed right now. I think one of the things that we've said is we want to give O'Neill a little bit of a runway to play short, and he's done a nice job, you know, with it so far. He continues to move his feet and do the things that we challenged him on in Indy before he came to the big league. And he's played well there, you know, in the short term. I mean, when Kevin comes back, there's probably going to be times he's played short. There's probably going to be times he's played second. So I think right now we're continuing to watch and evaluate O'Neill, and he's done a good job.
So getting back to Maddie's question, which led us into this, I think a lot of people, a lot of fans wondering, it's become a topic now. You've got guys coming back, and the younger guys, people see that and say, well, what are they going to do? Just, send all these young guys back, or they're going to lose playing time? Is it now a situation of may the best man win at all these positions, or are you committed to youth in certain areas?
Well, I think we're committed to youth in certain areas, and we're committed to development in certain areas. So I think it's going to be a case-by-case basis. And, you know, the hard thing to speculate is, before some of these guys come back, it could be 2 weeks, you know, or longer. So to speculate what's going to happen in that time between how guys perform, but, you know, with injuries, all those things, you know, I don't even want to get there. When we get to that point, we'll make the best decision for the club and for the player, the individual players, and kind of work off that. But to speculate that far out, it's just not fair, because there's so many things that could happen, you know, between now and then.
Getting back to O'Neal Cruz here really quickly, is there anything that you've noticed that is different about him in this time coming up to the major leagues as opposed to last year when you got that quick look at him at the very end of the season?
Yeah, I think defensively he's done some work with his footwork that really stand out. And it's something that you know, we spent a lot of time on in Indianapolis this year of making sure how he moves his feet to be underneath him. You know, obviously he's a large human being, and to be able to play the game in the middle of the field, you have to do things mechanically right. So I think he's in a better spot there. And then the other thing is just confidence. You know, anytime you come to the big leagues for the first time, there is a little bit of uncertainty of what's going on. And I thought that was one of the, you know, what was one of the reasons we brought O'Neill last year was just to get him a little taste of what the big leagues is. And I think it's important for a lot of our young players. I mean, you know, we've seen it happen with Cal Mitchell. We've seen it happen with Swaggerty. We've seen it happen with Peguero. And every time they come back, they should be a little more comfortable in the environment. And I definitely think O'Neill is there.
You're listening to the Derek Shelton Show here on 93.7 The Fan. And Shelty, you just got done playing your old team, the Rays. And I think a lot of people look at the Pirates and say, well, the Rays would be the model for a lower payroll team to not just have a year or two where they're contending, but really to have something sustainable. And I'm wondering, in addition to the way they build their roster, if some of the stuff they do on the field creatively is something that you would want to emulate. Are they the model on the field as well?
I think they're one of the models. I mean, I think you try to model after places or teams that do things correctly. To your point, they have developed really well. You know, they have done a nice job developing young players. And some of those guys, you know, specifically like the Cal Mitchell's point, have come up and gone back down and come up and gone back down. And they've never apologized for, you know, what they're going to do in terms of that development and being specific on it. So I do think they are the model. We have, you know, earlier in the year, we have deployed, especially when we had a 14-man bullpen, we deployed our bullpen a little bit differently, which I think the Rays were definitely one of the models of how that started and how you could deploy for leverage. So, yeah, I would say, you know, they're one of the teams that we look at because they've done a really nice job throughout their baseball operations group and their major league staff in terms of developing young players.
And speaking of developing young players, Mitch Keller is a guy who's been consistently knocking down his ERA over the last seven starts, went from an almost 7 now down to 4.77. Is there anything in particular that you can point to as to why that seems to be happening for Mitch Keller? And do you still view him as a potential top of the rotation guy into the future?
Yeah, I think with Mitch Keller, the one thing that comes into play, and you know, it almost goes back to the Rays conversation, is when a highly touted prospect comes to the big league, everybody expects that right away they're going to hit. And it takes times and it takes lumps, and Mitch has taken his lumps. I do think, you know, we're seeing over the last seven starts what a lot of people expected Mitch Keller to be. And, you know, to knock your ERA down that much, that means you have to pitch well. What he's done is he's changed his arsenal a little bit. You know, he's using the sinker a little bit more. But more importantly, he is staying, you know, in attack mode. And I think that's something that, you know, the last 2 years we've talked about on this show is, you know, him being more aggressive with his stuff and trusting his stuff. And if he continues to do that, you know, he's going to be a really good starting pitcher for us. And I'm really proud of him because, you know, it's challenging. It's challenging when you're not pitching as well as, you know, you expect, as people expect. But the fact that over the last, you know, probably month and a half, he stayed consistently in that mode. And then, you know, I mean, there was a start, I think two starts ago, where the first inning he wasn't like that. And then all of a sudden he ramps it back up and gives us five more. So those adjustments in and of themselves are definitely the sign of him becoming a really good major league pitcher.
Shelty, we appreciate the time as always. I thought that Folsey's questions were insightful, poignant, very well delivered. You?
I did too. And, you know, and he went right after it on the first question. So I appreciate it. I'm thinking for sure he's getting some sort of pony deal out of this.
Me too. I think he's going to be a rich man. Thank you, Shelty. Good luck tonight.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
You going to say goodbye, Falsey, or you just let him hang up?
I'm going to say goodbye to him right now.
Okay. Go ahead. That's what Horse used to do. It's the only cordial thing to do. I think that was a big moment for Falsey to step into the fray like that. He did. He went right after. He went right after Shelty with a tough question early. How was it, Falsey?
It was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
You didn't throw out a softball first either. You essentially said, why'd you send Cal Mitchell down?
Pretty much, yeah. That's what everybody's talking about, right? That's what everybody wants to hear.
I like it. We're going to get into this Pitt situation later in the hour. I don't think this is good for their football program to do away with the divisions in the ACC. And that's the gist of the story.
A lot of
conferences doing this. Obviously, now they're stuck with Clemson. It's not going to be easy to win.
They thrived in the Coastal Division.
Yes. And I just mentioned earlier that Pat Narduzzi has more tenure than all those other coaches in the Coastal combined. Like, they have a distinct edge in terms of stability and continuity in the Coastal. Now you're thrown in with the big boy.
Right.
And the big boys, I mean, you think of NIL. I certainly do. Florida State is another player there, I think.
Yep.
Not good. I don't think so either.
I think they were in perfect position right where they were.
On the other hand, they're still going to have a conference championship game, correct?
As far as I know, yeah.
So you take Clemson probably and the second place team. So you're competing with everybody else for a spot in that title game still. You just have to now deal with the other divisions or the other division. You know what I mean?
Right. You're dealing with
who knows
Clemson
how it turns
more,
out.
Maybe in Florida State more if they get back on a
right
to back to what they were before.
And probably Miami now with Van Arsdale at quarterback and all of that. We'll talk about that later. We have a quarterback guru coming up, do we not? You want to tell the people who's next?
Tony Rasiopi is his name. Quarterback guru, has worked with Kenny Pickett, worked with Keaton Slovis, I believe, in his videos on Twitter. Now, we've got to confirm this with him, but I'm pretty sure that Peyton Manning was a part of this as well, watching these guys.
Interesting. Can't wait to talk to him. Next here on Cook and Joe, Ron is out for the week on vacation. Welcome back to Cook and Joe. Very excited to go back out to the Nemecol and Fan Hotline and bring in Tony Rasiopi, quarterback coach, quarterback trainer, has worked with Kenny Pickett, has worked with Keaton Slovis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Who is right in the mix to be Pitt's next quarterback here. Tony, we appreciate you joining us. How are you today?
Everything's great, Joe. Appreciate you having me on again.
Absolutely. And I'm fascinated with this position and with the fact that in spite of the fact that people like you exist out there and that there are these 7-on-7 camps that start when these guys are seemingly, you know, still in the womb practically, that still there's maybe 10 to 15 guys on the entire planet who can do this at the highest level. Why is it so hard for NFL teams to judge quarterback talent coming into the draft? That's A. And then B, just the position in general. Like, if you had to choose the one reason above all why it's so difficult to master at the highest level, what is it?
You know, great question, Joe. I get this a lot, and obviously gotten a lot this year. You know, the hardest thing to judge is when you're evaluating these college guys for the NFL, it's okay. Like, I've always said the three P's are kind of, like, you can really judge a quarterback's success by having the three P's, and those are your personnel around you, right, the talent around you. Second thing is the protection, and the third thing is the play caller, right? So if you look at those three P's, a lot of times if you're a pretty solid quarterback and you have all three of those things in place, you're going to be pretty successful most of the time, right? You kind of just do your job. You know, if you lack one or two of those things, you're going to see some inconsistent play. You're going to see some good games. You're going to see some bad games. And then obviously you could be the most talented quarterback in the world, right? And if you don't have all three of those things, if you're 0-3, you know, good luck. You know, so I think teams are constantly judging, you know, how many – like what quarterbacks have out of those three things, right? You're judging that. You're judging what things on a player can they fix, right? Is it – do they miss throws because of their talent? Do they miss throws because of their fundamentals, right, which obviously can be taught and refined. And then the last thing is the competition to play, you know, so it's all those things kind of judging a guy, and then most of all is you can't rip a guy open and see, you know, the heart that they have and their mind. You know, like how fast can they process information? You know, can they learn an offense? Can they learn a defense? Can they get back there with all these guys around their feet and, you know, judge, you know, depth, angle, speed, and wide out, if somebody's open or not? Like, all those things are just so hard to judge. It's so subjective. You know, it's so easy to put 25 really talented guys out on a field and just have them drop and throw routes, which is the combine, right?
It's,
you know, putting 15, 20 guys, which was with prejudged routes, taking a drop, throwing the ball to an open guy, right? And you should be able to do that. You know, so it's judging all those things in play. It's the hardest thing to do, you know, so it's, I wish I could tell you a better way to doing it. I'd probably be a multimillionaire, billionaire, right, if I found a better way to tell guys how to judge those things. But that's really what it comes down to tell you the truth. It's those teams trying to judge all those things and juggling all that based around the fact that, you know, and again, and we went through this with Kenny, right, you're judging, you know, ability and, you know, fundamentals and mind and toughness and heart, versus the guys who have, like, ridiculous physical traits, right? The big, strong, athletic guys that throw the ball, you know, 75 yards and throw the ball, you know, the 18-yard comebacks, like, effortlessly. But are they good quarterbacks? I don't know. You know, like, so you're judging all those things, and guys get it wrong all the time. So it's hard. I get it.
When did you start working with Kenny?
6 years ago. So I've had Kenny Pickett for 6 years. I've had him through his entire college career, and then obviously his entire draft process. Plus, like, you know, usually with the draft process, you get guys, you know, 6-8 weeks tops, 10 weeks really, the most. I had Kenny for 5 months just because of our location, right? So it's, we just kind of did what we always did and just kept it going from January, whatever we started that first week until, I mean, I had him 2 days before he left to go to Pittsburgh back to, you know, when he was going back for rookie minicamp with Steelers, you know, and I'm actually driving right now to go work out with them. Mm. So it's, yeah, so it's been a great, obviously, 6 years, and you saw the development, which is awesome, and it's a tribute to him and his hard work and just wanting to be a great player.
Let's talk about him for a minute. I mean, I watched him with my own two eyes here, as did everybody in this town, and then when the draft comes along, there's all kinds of conflicting opinions. Kenny Pickett has trouble throwing the deep ball. No, Kenny Pickett throws a great deep ball. Kenny Pickett has trouble. He flees the pocket too early. No, he stays in the pocket. You know, all of this stuff.
Let
me ask you this.
Sure.
What did Kenny already do really well by the time he was drafted? And what did you believe needed to be refined and might still need to be refined for him to become a really good NFL quarterback?
Well, I think that, you know, the one thing that's bothered me through the process was people saying, like, you know, he's got the lowest ceiling of the guys in the class. And I just kept telling guys, listen, I told NFL teams this. I probably talked to 15 teams through this process because of my relationship, obviously, with them, and no one knows them better than I do. So it's, you know, how can you say that about the kid? He's gotten better drastically every single year. And, I mean, Pitt fans can appreciate that, right? I mean, if you look at every single year at Pittsburgh, he made pretty big jumps, you know. And I attribute that to, A, the work that he put in, B, just getting more comfortable with the systems that he played in. And, you know, and they got better around him every year. You know, like, you know, I've always said, like, you know, you look at his junior year and his sophomore year, they led the country in drops.
Right.
You know? So, it's, you know, I mean, you just catch half those balls, and it always felt like a third and seven or a red zone or, you know, a play-action shot play that can run once the game, right? You got cover four, that safety, you step it up, you throw the post, you put on the money, the guy drops it. You know, I mean, you can't run that four times a game. You know, defenses aren't stupid. So it's, you know, I think through the process, I think, you know, the nice thing for me when I had him for the NFL draft is obviously I had him for 5 years before that. So I kind of, I knew how he learned. I knew what his weaknesses were, not that there were many. And just kind of refining those things, if that makes sense. And now, you know, now we're going to take what he did over the OTAs and mini camps, obviously working on fundamentals all the time, right? You're always trying to, you know, work your, you know, work footwork, work your throwing sequence, get cleaner, get more balance, make straight throws with your feet. But now we're going to take what we've always done and kind of take what Matt Canada wants and kind of marry it together, if that makes sense. You know, so we're going to throw for an hour and a half today. It's probably going to be 30 minutes of stuff we've always done. Just, you know, again, refine those things. And then the next hour is going to be what Matt Canada wants and, you know, get them ready for footwork and you know, past concepts and that kind of stuff that he's doing with the Steelers.
Without giving away any secrets, what does Matt Canada want? More throws on the run? What would be one thing that Matt Canada would want that you guys will work on?
I mean, you know, it really depends on the system, right? So sometimes, so I'll give you an example, right? So sometimes most systems are pure progression footwork, right? So that means they're going to work 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, no matter what the coverage is. Your eyes always start with 1. Your drop always starts with 1 and timing it up with 1 in progression. And then you're going to go, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 based on who's covered, right? Some offenses are going to work half field concepts. So you're going to play a side depending on if it's, you know, 2 safeties or 1 safety, right? You're going to take, you know, that first step in a drop. You're going to confirm if it's 1 or 2 safeties. And then your eyes are going to go to that side, and those are usually high-low reads or triangle reads based on how many guys are on that side of the pattern, you know. So, and that changes our footwork, you know. So it's really kind of marrying what Coach Canada wants, whether it's pure progression or half field stuff. And then, you know, again, it's are they high-lows or are they low-high? You know, a lot of the NFL is turning to these low-high concepts because you're working kind of option routes on linebackers. You know, so you got, you know, slot receivers, tight ends kind of guys who are usually better athletes than linebackers, hopefully matched up on them. That's why you're doing that stuff, right? So when you're working low to high, that changes our footwork a lot because if low is covered, now you have to kind of get yourself kind of back in the drop to a normal depth to play a high route, you know, 18 yards behind it kind of deal, you know? So it's kind of marrying all that stuff, which, you know, I mean, listen, I've talked to him obviously a bunch, but I'm more excited to kind of see what he wants to do today when we get there with some wideouts that I got coming.
Tony Rasiopi, quarterback guru, has worked with Kenny Pickett, has worked with the Mannings, it looks like, judging from your Twitter feed and things like that, Tony, and also has worked with Keaton Slovis. When you talk to these 15 NFL teams, was there a common concern with Kenny Pickett? What was their greatest concern?
You know, not really. You know, I think that, you know, the hands thing never came up, which is not a surprise to me, right, number one. Number two, I think that, again, I think through this process, I've learned that the media, you know, they play certain things, right? So people watch shows and click on things, which are 100% false and wrong. But it was real easy in the draft process to kind of go and see things that were said or you know, on ESPN or NFL Network, and you're sitting there going like, well, that's 100% false. Because, I mean, I was at every single thing. You know, Joe, I went to, you know, the Senior Bowl. I watched every ball thrown. I went to the Combine, obviously, and then obviously I ran his pro day at Pittsburgh. So I was there for every ball thrown by not only him, but
everybody else in competition. And I don't think there were many concerns by people. I think that, I mean, listen, there's 49, 50 starts in there, right, from Pittsburgh. He's not a one-year guy, number one. Number two, it's not like he played in Southern California for 4 or 5 years either, right, in 70-degree weather. I mean, you guys know as well as I do, like, played high school football in New Jersey, right, where you're playing in state playoffs in some really bad weather. And then, I mean, Pittsburgh's not the greatest weather in the world November on, right? So it's, I think a lot of those answers were already, those questions were answered just based on what he did through his entire career and obviously being one of the best passers in ACC history, not just Pitt history, but ACC history. So, I mean, you look at his numbers, you look at his performances, I mean, you know, one of the best ever to play in the ACC. And me and his high school coach were talking the other day, it's, listen, I mean, you know, you could literally put him up to be a college football Hall of Famer down the road with the numbers he put up right over the 5 years, you know. So there weren't many concerns. I just think that people just want to know kind of him as a person inside, and there's nobody better. I mean, there's no bigger, tougher competitor out there. I mean, you know, the only guys that were ever – some guys fall in love with the traits, right? And that, when I say traits, I mean big, strong, throw it 75 yards, rolling out of bed. But those are the guys you fall in love with easy because you see them in T-shirt and shorts. But those are the guys you get in trouble with, too, because they're not great quarterbacks. And I've always said to every guy that I talk to, and I go through this a lot with the high school kids that I train with all the college guys, is like, listen, most quarterback coaches and offense coordinators, you give me your five biggest characteristics of quarterback that you want. And they all say almost the same thing, right? They all want a guy can process information quickly, a guy that can anticipate throws, a guy that's accurate, you know, a guy that has mental toughness, a guy who's the ultimate competitor in the room, the biggest competitor on the team. Well, listen, I mean, that's Kenny Pickett. That's 5 for 5 right there. You know, so it's, was his arm strong enough to make every throw? Yeah, and I think we answered those questions on his pro day. I think that some people just want to know how much can he drive the football outside the numbers on a second to third level of the field. And can he be laid on a deep ball, right? And the guys with strong arms, what I mean by that is, can they drop, can they move quickly, maybe out of trouble, and still throw the go route in the deep post and be on time with it? And he can do that, you know? So it was kind of just a way to show off, A, how well he can throw the football and how hard he can throw the football and how far he can throw the football. And B, I mean, how good of an athlete he is. You know, it's, I mean, you put his numbers up for the combine, his numbers are better than Dak Prescott's numbers in every single test at the combine. And listen, I consider Dak Prescott a very good athlete.
No doubt. Do you believe, and does Kenny believe, that he's in a legit competition and has a chance to be the starter at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, when you're drafted in the first round, you're drafted to play, right? So, but also, you know, he knows it wasn't going to be, hey, kid, here's the ball. You know, the first day he walks in the building, he's got to go earn this thing, and he will, you know. And you want to be day one starter, and if he's not, he's going to work towards being a starter halfway through the year. And if that's not it, you know, be ready for next year. He's ready for kind of all levels, you know. So, listen, if you look at Kenny Pickett's career, it's always been, nothing's ever been given to him. And he's always had to work for everything, right? He wasn't a highly recruited kid out of high school, as we all know. When he got to Pittsburgh, he was running the scout team his freshman year, you know, like, and all of a sudden you wowed the head coach enough on scout team. All of a sudden you get kind of pushed down towards the offense, move it through. And then, you know, he started a Miami game as a freshman at the end of the year, you know, but that wasn't a given thing, you know. And then if you look at his career at Pittsburgh, I mean, they brought a transfer every year, it felt like, right? You know, a 4 or 5 star kind of kid from, Arizona or California, it felt like. And every single year he just went out and beat the kid out in spring practice and fall camp and got better. And I expect the same thing with the Steelers, right? I expect him to go in there and compete every single day and get better and push Mitch. And if it's a competition, let's go get it, you know. And if they deem him not ready to play yet and they deem Mitch the starter, then he'll be ready to get better every single day and be ready. Whenever his name's or his number's called, he'll be ready. I promise you that.
Quarterback guru Tony Rasiope, I have two more questions. He's on his way to a workout. Yet another one with Kenny Pickett here. As a quarterback connoisseur, Tony, you're the perfect person to ask this question. Who's a good comparable? Who's a good NFL comparable, past or present, for Kenny Pickett?
I think the Joe Burrow one's legit. I had Joe Burrow for 4 days to Manning camp twice. And when you have these guys at the Manning Passing Academy, you're around them all day long, Joe. Like you're meeting with them in the morning at 7:30 a.m., grabbing a cup of coffee, talking about what we're doing that day on the field. You're coaching high school kids with these guys. You're eating lunch with these guys. And I'm one of the four guys that the Mannings let coach these guys. When they're there, I'm actually with Peyton, which is like the greatest thing in the world, right? So you see all these guys, and that's obviously I keyed in there at USA, and obviously the last 4 days, camp just ended Sunday, so you can hear my voice a little bit probably too. So we watch these guys throw. You put them through a workout, you're putting them through drills, then you watch them coach again, and then you go to dinner with them at night, and then and then you're with them till, midnight every single night, kind of just hanging out, just talking ball and talking life and talking family and talking. So you feel like you get it. My point is you get a good grasp of the guy, A, how physically talented are, and B, like kind of what makes him tick. And Joe, I had Joe for both years on my field with me. I'm in charge of a field there with the high school kids. And I had Joe both years for 4 days. So I just think, the way they both throw it, they're both better athletes than people think. They're both accurate. They both process information so well. They're both ultra competitive dudes. They're both quick processors. Joe is a coach's kid. Kenny's dad didn't coach him in high school, but Kenny's dad coached him growing up, and Kenny's dad was the Hall of Famer at Chippingsburg. He's been around that kind of stuff his entire life. So I just, they're ultra confident without being cocky. Kind of how you want your quarterback, right? I would say the magnet in the room. If they walk in a room, everybody kind of gravitates towards them. They're kind of both. They're very similar in that way. So I would be that. That's the biggest one. Now it's go out there and play well and get those three P's that I talked about earlier, right? So it's, you see a lot of talented guys get drafted high, and they start their NFL career maybe too early, or they don't have those three P's around them, and within 4 or 5 years they're done, they're out of the league, or they're a backup somewhere. So it's kind of, you have to be ready, and the team has to be ready at the right time. If that makes sense.
1 minute left. I wanted to ask you about Keaton Slovis, Tony. What does Pitt have in this guy?
Very, very talented kid, and a super kid too. Like I said, I had him when he was at USC. Kenny was actually there at the same time, and he impressed me then. And then obviously this time around, he looks a little cleaner with his footwork. He's got a little more velocity on the football than I saw him last time. He plays with a great base. He's always balanced. He's got a beautiful release of throwing the football. And the thing you got to watch out for sometimes is that, when these kids start young at these blue blood programs, USC's of the world, right? The Ohio States, the Michigans, the typical blue blood top 10 programs in college football history. It's really easy to judge them because you just think they always get the best talent. And there's a lot of talent, obviously, those programs through recruiting. But, like USC was not a very good team last year around him, So my point is I'm excited for him to see what he does. Obviously, he's in a quarterback competition with Nick Patty, who I've known for a long time because he's a Jersey kid too. But if he goes and wins the job, I'd be excited if I'm a Pitt fan. He's talented. He's been through a lot. He's been through the ups and downs of college football, which is kind of a good thing. I spent a lot of time with him. Obviously, these 4 days, he's so excited to be at Pittsburgh and be with the program and play for Pat Narduzzi and, Frank Cinetti calling plays and coaching him up. And so I'm excited for him. We're going to try to get together this month. He's going to try to get out to Jersey at some point for 3 or 4 days when they have off and get some work in with me. And obviously Kenny's probably hopefully still around. I'm excited for him, and I'm excited for Pittsburgh, whether it's, Keaton or Nick, so it's going to be a battle.
Tony, appreciate all this time. That was great stuff. And have a good workout with Kenny. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I think Tony's phone went out there right at the end. Maddie, that was a great get. That was great stuff from him. What did you take? The thing I took more than anything was the Joe Burrow comparison.
Yeah. He
right?
put that name out there right away. As soon as you asked that question, he said Joe Burrow. And listed all of the reasons why he thinks that, too. down to his demeanor, which is exciting.
That was good stuff. What a get by Maddie.
I can't believe he's going to a workout right now with Kenny Pickett.
Right now. Right now he's going. All right. We overshot the break by about an hour, but that's okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.